What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Trust the Podcast on Sikkim365.com. We are brought to you by Burt Kolch and Ford in Waco. Since 1936, Ford's the number one selling truck in Texas, 43 years running. BK Ford proudly supports high school football, and there's no better way to tailgate than with a Ford from BK, a locally owned dealership. Also brought to you by WellMed Medical Management, USMD Health System out of Dallas. And what a week to discuss. What a week when it comes to news, Baylor football, and college football. I'm Craig Smoke, Sikkim 365 radio host, also Sikkim365.com team reporter and writer. And I am joined, as I am every week, by Grayson Grunhafer, director of broadcasting, also team and recruiting reporter for Sikkim365.com. And for what seems like the 17th week in a row, we come to you in a week where we should be previewing a game, but instead we are going to be talking about a cancellation. Although I guess the style of this podcast has been to actually preview the game only to then find out it was being canceled. But now we know a little bit ahead of time, at least for this week. And man, what a world, what a season, and what a surprise in some ways, but then again, not really. Grayson, Oklahoma State, the number 7 team in the country this week, undefeated in the Big 12, getting Spencer Sanders back soon. They were going to be traveling to Waco this weekend, homecoming festivities for the Bears. All that's off the table, and these two will apparently reconvene on December the 12th, which is becoming quite the makeup date in college football this week. But first of all, how you doing? And just your initial reactions to the news that we've all been discussing now for the last couple of days. No Baylor and no Pokes coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm doing all right besides that information. And of course, right after we finished recording last week, that's when all the news started circulating about Baylor having a lot of positive tests. There were rumors swirling. And then, of course, it just pretty much all came out. It felt like that Baylor was having issues shutting down the facility. I mean, what a mess. And honestly, it's just such a tough situation. And when you look at it and you go, you don't really know specifics on exactly how many numbers, because a lot of it can be due to positives or due to contact tracing or due to other factors. But what we do know is there was an outbreak, and that means that there's going to be a lot of patience by this Baylor coaching staff and by the players and by the fans, which it just continues this year. It's like a common theme. You just got to show a lot of patience, because at the end of the day, they got to do what they can to be able to play football games, because right now it's just not happening. But yeah, really tough story to hear this week. And, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with the football team and the staff. Just hope that anyone that has come in contact with is doing okay. But as far as the Oklahoma State game goes, that game's getting moved. And it's honestly a good thing, because I don't think Baylor fans would have wanted to see what would have happened if Baylor tried to trot out the roster that they would have had to construct for that football game.
Yeah, I saw some initial questions about, well, how many scholarship players do we have? And are we above the threshold? And if we are, if we can play, we should play. And I think people need to realize just how ramrodded this roster has become with this virus, including throughout the coaching staff. And you need to look no further for information than Mac Rhodes and his appearance on Monday with us on Sikkim 365 radio. I mean, you talk about a great relationship, and man, you know, this story is breaking, and he's on with us just seemingly a few minutes later, and he's given us, you know, better details than anything out there. I mean, they came out with their weekly testing report as typical on a Monday, but he had joined us prior to that and actually tipped us off to what that testing update was going to say and gave us even more information. But Grayson, you see these graphics every week. I do too as well. And it's been, you know, at the most really, you know, 10 total active cases, and then, you know, maybe 14 or 15 contact tracing cases that are, you know, also being monitored or what have you. Then there's typically, you know, 2, maybe 3 symptomatic cases, and 2, maybe 3 asymptomatic cases, you know, just depending on what the total is. This week, total active cases, 32, 29 of those symptomatic, 3 of those asymptomatic, 29 new cases out of those 32, 44 being monitored. But the big news was that of those positive tests that I just mentioned, 32 active student athlete positives, 28 of those are football players. 28 out of the 32 are Baylor football players, not to mention the other incredibly juicy piece of information he gave us and didn't have to, quite frankly, but did anyways. 14 staff members in football also positives. Then you add in 44 close contact cases just as a total as well. Those 44 are in quarantine in athletics. 17 of those 44 are in football. So, I mean, a lot of numbers to throw at you, but 32 active student athlete positives, 7 close contact quarantines in football, and 14 staff members. Grayson, like, that is the definition of an outbreak, and it's no surprise that they had to cancel the game this upcoming weekend. And you are exactly right when you say they would have gotten completely demolished. It would have probably looked a lot like what Vanderbilt looked like last week when they went onto the field with a shade over the SEC threshold and proceeded to just get absolutely demolished last weekend. Their game's now off. And what we've seen is this thing not being exclusive to Waco. I mean, Ole Miss is dealing with it now. Florida's had to cancel their game. You have obviously that Florida LSU game off as a result. And yeah, man, it's just kind of crazy how much this is spread.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think that you got to think about it just like, yeah, Baylor could have maybe thrown a team out there. But I also think at the end of the day, they were missing so many guys. I don't think they met the thresholds anyways. But yeah, it just was not going to work out. And it's just really a tough story because it all seems so not necessarily convenient, but it just seems just kind of what we've been thinking about with coronavirus. Baylor travels to Morgantown and then immediately they come back from the trip and they have a coronavirus outbreak. And then on the flip side, you look at West Virginia and somehow they were just fine and they haven't had any cases. Neil Brown felt pretty good about where they were at least after the initial test. So we'll see what happens throughout the week, but just really pretty crazy how that can happen. But like I know Mac had mentioned, the false positives seem to be, the false negatives seem to be the biggest issue there. And so I'm curious how things move forward. And I know that there's so many mandatory days that guys are going to have to be out, whether it's getting back to play or just the normal contact tracing and coronavirus guidelines where you have to be out a certain amount of days. It just makes things really tricky. And I do believe that Baylor will find a way to meet that minimum threshold for the Texas game, knock on wood. But I do think they will be able to make that number. The question is what is that team going to look like and how many guys will make it in time for that game out of their quarantining? It's going to be a crazy story to follow, a very interesting one to follow, and also just a very sad one just because, you know, we're finally seeing this huge outbreak and a lot of schools had this problem. They just didn't have it right now. And I think that's what's the unfortunate part is a lot of people, like you mentioned before we even started talking, on the podcast, you mentioned the fact that people have been saying, oh, Baylor didn't handle this well, or there goes Baylor, you know, making mistakes. And it's like, no, it's just bad timing because most teams around the country are going to get coronavirus to a certain extent. It's more about when you get it. And a lot of the Big 12 schools got it earlier, which might end up being a good thing for them.
Yeah, you had, I know of, you know, the outbreak at Texas Tech, which was back in August, where they had very large numbers. You know, you've got KU with Les Miles right now. You've got Oklahoma, I know, has been dealing with it. Just, I don't think they've been as transparent. Nobody's been as transparent as Baylor. Like, and that interview on Monday, man, that should go in the Athletic Director Hall of Fame, honestly, for transparency. I mean, that was, we weren't asking about staff members, and yet he was delivering us the information and letting us know everything we needed to know. And you might have seen Sikkim 365 Radio and Mac Rhodes mentioned in pretty much, you know, all the sports outlets out there on Monday afternoon after his interview because of what he said. And We're appreciative that he was open with us like that. But yeah, they're getting riddled, and others have been hit with it. And if you haven't been hit with it yet, I got a column coming out basically saying don't talk a lot of S right now, because odds are, you know, you're going to go on a road trip at some point, or, you know, you're going to have something on campus, because everybody's, you know, getting touched by this at some point or another, either already has or are right now. And if you haven't, well, you know, odds are you will be at some point. So unfortunately, there will be no top 10 matchup at McLean Stadium this weekend. But fortunately, if you're a Baylor fan, that's a good thing in the pure win-loss sense of things. Dave Aranda did talk to the media on Monday. You and I talked before, and there wasn't really a whole lot of substance. There's not really a whole lot left for him to say, Grayson. I mean, there's no practices. They're doing digital like they did during spring break, but, you know, he only met on Monday. The players aren't talking because, shoot, half of them are sick, so they're not going to be doing media, or, you know, they're in quarantine or whatever. So, yeah, there's not really a whole lot to add to the football front right now, other than just this game will be played on December the 12th, it looks like. That is when Florida LSU will now also be played, and there will be some other makeup games in as well. The only question is whether or not it affects the Big 12 championship game, because if either is in the running or is in the game, booked for the game, then it will have to be pushed back to December the 19th. But if it's, for example, Oklahoma and K-State, then Oklahoma and K-State would go ahead and play on December the 12th, and Baylor, Oklahoma State would play. I even asked him about, you know, if there was any chance, because there was a couple people on Twitter asking, like, well, hey, could Oklahoma State, like, just not play that game because they're already booked in the title game? And that does not seem to be the case. I don't think Baylor wants to lose that revenue, even if they're not in the running, and Oklahoma State is. So December the 12th, it'll be a colder game than it was scheduled to be, but that'll be a better Baylor team, you would think, on paper, most definitely taking on the Cowboys and maybe getting a chance to play spoiler.
Yeah, definitely. And I actually saw those tweets on, I don't even remember what day it was, talking about how Oklahoma State, why would they even play that game? And I was just thinking to myself, when in Big 12 history has a team been able to just say, oh yeah, I don't want to play that game, I'm going to go to the Big 12 championship if they're undefeated and get a chance at the college football playoff? There is no way the college football playoff is going to think that that's a good thing, that they're skipping a game. I've never heard of a team doing that. So I thought that was a really weird comment on Twitter about them potentially doing that. So I don't see that happening. I think you got to play the teams on your schedule. I know coronavirus makes that a little more tricky, but I think the games that are more likely to be canceled are the games between the teams that aren't in contention at the end of the year. I'm not sure that you're able to do that with the teams that are, but we'll see. This year's already been tricky, so we'll see how it goes forward. But I definitely, this isn't even just me thinking this. This is for a fact. Baylor will be a better football team on December 12th than they would have been on October 17th if they had to play that game.
Most definitely. Most definitely. You know, it's just going to be interesting to see what happens next week, because there is the slight, or perhaps even slight's too slight of a word, quite frankly. There is a chance, and I guess we should just look at everything as 50-50 right now. There's a 50-50 chance that that game against Texas gets played next week, 50-50 chance it doesn't. We will see. They are scheduled to go to Austin, and, you know, obviously they're reeling in Longhorn country right now after that game last weekend, the four overtime loss to Oklahoma. But, yeah, I mean, I think this Baylor team has a chance to be pretty good, but they just got to be able to practice together and actually play together. But that is still on hold. So thinking of the Big 12, we're going to take a look and kind of give our opinions on what is basically a Big 12, you know, sort of off week this week in many ways. Just the Kansas and West Virginia game going on. Everybody else is off in the conference, and so Texas will have 2 weeks to prepare for Baylor. Baylor will technically have had like almost a month to prepare for Texas, even though not really prepare for Texas, because they've had to prepare for various opponents that they have not ended up playing. But regardless, we will get Kansas and West Virginia this weekend. So Grayson, as we stand right now with the Big 12, Oklahoma State is undefeated within Big 12 play, excuse me. At 2-0, you've got Iowa State, who is now the number 20 team in the country. They are 3-0 in Big 12 play. K-State, number 22 team in the country, 3-0 in Big 12 play. Then Oak State, as I mentioned, at 2-0. West Virginia, Baylor, 1-1. Oklahoma, TCU, 1-2. Texas, 1-2. KU, 0-2. Texas Tech, 0-3. Let's talk the Big 12 conference and what we're thinking about it as we enter this weekend.
Okay, so I think the only games this weekend, the only game is West Virginia versus Kansas. I expect West Virginia to win that game, and I guess I'll immediately segue into those two teams. Kansas is at the very bottom of the conference for me. I assume we both agree on that and think West Virginia will get an easy win this weekend, right?
Yeah, I don't think Kansas wins a Big 12 game, no.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So I got Kansas at the very bottom. And right above them currently, I have to put Texas Tech there. I know they should have, could have, would have beaten Texas, but they didn't. The game against Iowa State, they looked terrible. They were 0 of 10 on third down, and they scored 15 points, and 7 of those 15 points came on a blocked field goal return for a touchdown. So their offense put up 8 points against Iowa State. I'm not impressed by them, so I have Tech at 9. Are you still with me on those two?
Yeah, KU, I think, is going winless this year. And Texas Tech, I mean, they looked awful from what I've seen, you know. I mean, despite the Texas game, and boy, how large does that Texas game loom for both of those programs? Because Texas lost that game, and they were sitting there just completely, you know, donezo in the Big 12. I mean, if they were 0-3 in the Big 12, can you imagine? But that's what we were saying about Oklahoma last week. Had they lost that game to Texas, like, man, either one of those teams at 0-3. But, yeah, Texas got very fortunate there. And that's a game that is going to haunt Matt Wells most definitely, because you can be bad, you can be average, whatever, especially in a year like this. But if you have the opportunity to beat Texas, that's at least something to hold on to. And they completely let that out of their grasp. And now making the switch at quarterback, Alan Bowman has been benched, and they're going to, you know, go with a different guy. Colombini, who transferred over from Utah State, will be their quarterback moving forward. So to answer your question, yes, I think I'm with you there on 10-9, but what do you think about the Tech quarterback switch?
Yeah, I listened to Matt Wells, and I haven't heard that it's official yet, but I guess you might have heard otherwise on them officially switching.
Yeah, no, they are. He announced that Colombini, I think is his name, is going to be starting at quarterback moving forward. That he has apparently overtaken Alan Bowman, who is about as erratic of a quarterback as you will find, and I know has really driven Tech fans pretty nuts so far this season, despite, you know, all the talk about his grittiness and his toughness and bouncing back from injuries and all that stuff. Like, you still got to play good eventually. So, yeah. So that's Colombi. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I apologize.
Yeah, Henry Colombi. Yeah, I see that.
Colombi.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Colombini. I don't know. But Colombi. There you go. Yes, he will be starting at quarterback for 1-3 Tech moving forward.
Okay, so we got Kansas and Tech at 10-9, and at 8, I have to do it just based off the last performance. I have to put Baylor at 8. I don't think you can put them ahead of anyone else right now.
No, I don't think that'd be fair. Their only wins against Kansas, and well, look at Kansas and Oklahoma State went out and did the exact same thing Baylor did, pretty much for the most part. So no, I mean, Baylor has beaten the worst team in the conference, who's probably not going to win a game this year, and, you know, had an opportunity, had they won that West Virginia game, to, you know, be in the upper half. But no, you can't put with the way that West Virginia game went, I can't put them up there just based on seeing good defense and that alone, quite frankly.
Yeah. And then at number 7, this is a tough one for me, because there's 3 teams in my opinion that can go in this spot. And I think these are the 3 that I assume you have in some particular order in the next 3 spots, but West Virginia, Texas, and TCU. I have not been overly impressed with any of those 3 teams. But West Virginia away from home, I just don't think they're going to be very successful on the road, but at home, they're going to be very tough to beat. I'm going to go with West Virginia at 7. I wasn't too impressed by them when they played Baylor. I'm going to go with them because I don't trust their quarterback.
This is going to be boring, but I'm with you. And, you know, they probably deserve to be almost above Texas, quite frankly. But no, I still think, and it's the argument that has gotten Texas into trouble, and the argument that gets me into trouble with Texas and Pickhams is just saying, like, well, eventually the talent's going to win out. But I know that's not been the case. But no, I'm with you. I was not impressed by West Virginia. That was what was even more frustrating about that football game with Baylor, is that Baylor played as badly as they did in some areas, still took it to overtime, still had every opportunity to win, and had they made just a couple of plays earlier in the game, would have won with you know, pretty much no problem. But no, I was not impressed by West Virginia outside of their D-line and, you know, a guy like a Tyke Smith. But offensively, I'm not really too worried about them. So yeah, it's hard to see who's worse, but I'm fine with going with West Virginia in that spot.
Wow. And so we're in the same order, and I think we're actually going to be in the same order for the next two. Also, I have Texas at 6. Their defense is not as bad as the stats say. For points per game, it's terrible, but the yardage, it's not as bad as people think. But they're losing games. They're giving up tons of points. They're giving up big plays. They're very undisciplined. They have a lot of penalties. I have to put them at 6 right now based on the production that they've had. And I have to put TCU at 5 because TCU went on the road, beat Texas in Austin. And I think that right now, TCU's quarterback, Max Duggan, had two pretty good weeks. And then he didn't play as well last week, but I still think he's gotten a lot better from a year ago. So I'll put TCU at 5 and Texas at 6 for now.
Yeah, I think, TCU beat Texas, right? So I'm going to give them the head-to-head nod right there, even though that was a close game. But, man, what a finish that was with the fumble at the goal line by Keontae Ingram. And then Ingram opens up the OU game with a fumble. Like, man, I know I'm getting sideways here, but this is something that drives me nuts about Texas. And look, I've been guilty with just giving them the benefit of the doubt as well. But people need to realize when I do that, I'm doing it to set myself up to enjoy it when they do fall. Because if I was like everybody else and was like, no, they're going to lose, they're going to lose, they're going to lose, most of the time they'd probably find a way to win, and I just end up angry and frustrated. But by just admitting that, like, no, their talent will probably carry them or whatever, when it doesn't happen, it makes it that much more glorious. But, Keontae Ingram, fumble-itis is an issue, man. So when we hear all this talk about top 10 recruiting classes and five-star players and Bijan Robinson's the missing piece and him and Ingram are going to dominate the Big 12 and all that, well, first of all, you got to have an offensive line, and they don't. And second of all, you don't take into account factors we don't see necessarily during the recruiting process unless we're just following that player intently. Keontae Ingram clearly has some holes in his game. He's a very good player. But just because you got that 5 stars next to your name doesn't mean it automatically translates into wins if the culture isn't right, or if the coaching isn't right, or if the players around you aren't right, or if you're not all the way right. And I think all of that applies to Texas right now. So just don't let recruiting cloud your brain and think that it's the end-all, be-all. It's very, very important. But a 5-star in high school is not necessarily going to be a 5-star in college. And I don't think Keontae Ingram's been a 5-star player in college. So I'm with you. TCU goes above Texas. I am worried about TCU's offense, surprise, surprise, because that's clearly been a lingering issue with them. But, Duggan, TCU's got kind of get loosey-goosey from time to time. But I'll definitely take them above Texas. And that was a tough loss to K-State, but – you know, it was a great game for Kansas State. And now it would be really interesting to see TCU and Oklahoma. That'll be a fun game coming up in next week's slate of contests.
Definitely. So right now we're on the same page. We got TCU at 5, Texas at 6, West Virginia at 7, Baylor at 8, Tech at 9, and Kansas at 10. So now we're into the top 4. And this is where I might start being slightly controversial. Okay. I know Oklahoma is 1-2 in the Big 12, and I know they lost to Kansas State, but Kansas State lost their quarterback, Skylar Thompson, and now have a freshman quarterback, Will Howard. So I know that K-State is 3-1, 3-0, looking really good, but I just think they're going to take a step back. And I don't think they beat Oklahoma with Will Howard at quarterback. So therefore, I'm putting K-State at 4 and Oklahoma at 3.
Well, it's like, I mean, we're going chalk, man. K-State, I did not like what I saw from their offense after the Skylar Thompson injury. And that new quarterback, I mean, nearly cost them the game when they had it fully in control, slipping on what would have been a first down on a quarterback carry and just like falling completely short of the first down marker, allowing TCU to have a little bit of time. That could have been crazy embarrassing, but no, they did hold on. I'm not completely sold on them, especially like you said, without Skylar Thompson now completely off the table. They're a solid football team. They've got good defensive players, especially in the secondary, but I'm not going to pick them to beat Oklahoma. I know they've been one of those teams that's had OU's number over the years, but if they're going head up, and I know they beat them earlier this year, but if they're going head up as far as who I think's better right now, even though K-State's beaten them, I'm still going Oklahoma, especially after Oklahoma winning the game last weekend the way that they did. They're probably going to be dog tired moving forward for at least a couple weeks, but I think that's the spark that team needed to kind of get their act straight after sort of stumbling out of the gate. So really impressive start to Big 12 play for K-State, but I just don't believe that they can keep it up. They will at least for a little while longer because they do play Kansas next. So they're going to be at minimum 4-0 in the Big 12. And so you got to pay attention, but still, if they roll the ball back out there, I think I'm picking Oklahoma to beat them that time. So yeah, I'll go K-State and then OU as far as the next two go as well.
Yeah, I think K-State is a prime candidate to have a great first half of the Big 12 and then a terrible second half. I could see them going 5-4 in conference despite starting 3-0. So
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so they're a team that I'm a little hesitant to rank very highly. But again, 3-0 in Big 12 play, that's got to be respected for the time being. So now we're in the top two spots, and I'm really interested to see what direction we go here, at least for you, Craig. But for me, I have to go with the team that I have seen play without what I think to be their best quarterback. And so I have to put Oklahoma State at the top. And my reasoning for it is that I don't think we've seen the best Oklahoma State team, yet that team has been good enough to go 3-0. I think their defense is much better than they were a year ago. I think that will give them a chance. And I think when Spencer Sanders comes back, I think that offense is going to get rolling to another level. Now, I have no issue with someone putting Iowa State at number one. Their loss to Louisiana keeps looking better and better each week. It's still a pretty bad loss at home, but I do think that it was first game of the year, so there were some jitters and some just kinks in the armor for Iowa State that I don't think they're going to have as the season progresses. But right now, I have to go with the team that I don't think we've seen the complete package from, yet it's been good enough for them to be 3-0 and 2-0 in the conference.
Well, chalk we will finish because I'm with you. No, I mean, it's just a fair thing to do because I do feel like you're right on with the defense being better for Oklahoma State and, the fact they've been playing without Spencer Sanders. I mean, they're not getting a lot of, stellar quarterback play. And we haven't really seen, Tylan Wallace and Chuba Hubbard and that offense in full go, full form just yet this year. Now, I will say, look, their opening week, they got incredibly lucky against Philip Montgomery and Tulsa. I mean, they won that ball game 16-7. So, and hey, Tulsa's had some moments this year already themselves. So, I mean, give them some credit. But, Oklahoma State was very close themselves to starting off 0-1. They weren't, though. They did beat West Virginia, but that score is a bit misleading. It's not like they dominated the game or anything like that. They did score late, though, to escape. Had a touchdown by Chuba with, barely over a minute remaining in the game in a one-score game, won by two touchdowns. So, hey, give them credit. That's a win. But we both agree that West Virginia is not really a juggernaut right now. and that was in Stillwater. And then they beat up on Kansas the same way that Baylor beat up on Kansas. I would have been interested to see them this weekend. I know Spencer Sanders is coming back soon, like we've mentioned. So despite probably a little bit too much talk about them, I think right now, as far as how good they are, based on what we've seen, you do have to give them credit. So yes, I will put them at the top. Although I'm feeling Iowa State, man. I think Iowa State can make some noise, and that's going to be a little showdown coming up next week. Those two, with Oklahoma State not having this Baylor game, they will have gone what, 3 weeks without a game, and the last team they would have played was Kansas. So how much are you really gaining from that? And who's to say they don't have some issues with COVID moving forward as well, especially with the karma they might have spoken into the universe with their comments this week. And yeah, that's going to be a fun game next Saturday. That will be in Stillwater. But I will take Oklahoma State, although if you ask me to pick that game next week, I might be picking Iowa State for all I know.
Yeah, and we'll definitely go through and pick those games. But I do have one just side question just for you, Craig. Do you think these are the two teams that play in the Big 12 championship, if you were to guess right now?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think, you know, what I said in our pop quiz like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I thought TCU had kind of figured it out on offense. I felt like maybe Max Duggan was going to have like a really solid year. And clearly he's still got some things to work out. But I think I had said like TCU and Iowa State maybe, and I would still put Iowa State in there. I'm just not so sure on who that other team is yet, but I'm definitely not sold that it's Oklahoma State. I think there's a long way to go here, and I think this is going to be a little bit different looking as we move forward for sure.
Yeah, I do too. And I think the big thing for me is I expect Oklahoma to still have a pretty good season, and Iowa State already has that head-to-head. So that could end up being huge for them to get in. So yeah, really interesting stuff there, but that's currently where we're at in the Big 12. And for us to go chalk on the power rankings, that's pretty pretty cool for, I just think, our listeners. I mean, it means we're pretty much in sync, Craig.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's fun to kind of have the, I mean, for the sake of being Skip Bayless, like I've been like, no way, Iowa State's way better. But I'm just, no, I mean, I think it's pretty clear the way the Big 12 has been so far. It's certainly understandable if, you know, people want to put Iowa, I mean, I'd have no problem for people who want to say they think Iowa State's the best team in the conference right now. I totally could see that argument. Or if they think it will be Oklahoma State and Iowa State in the Big 12 title game, I could totally see that argument. But just, man, the way this season has gone, you know, I think people are being way too quick to probably pass final judgment on teams, Oklahoma being an example of that, because I really do think this Red River win could have been a game that really kind of catapults them in confidence. But they do have some things to figure out, obviously, on defense and even on offense as well. But, you know, Baylor is another team. I don't think you can make a final judgment on them because we haven't seen enough. And they could very well – they are very capable, in my opinion, regardless of what people think about the offense. We've seen so little and they've been together so little this season as far as actually practicing and whatnot, especially with this week's events, that by, you know, late November – they could be a team that nobody wants any part of, you know? So this will definitely shuffle. This will definitely shift around. But as of right now, I think we're both kind of seeing it the same way. So again, just the one Big 12 game this weekend, it'll be Kansas and West Virginia. Not a lot of drama in that one, folks, obviously, but there should be some other games that are worthwhile around the rest of the country that have not been canceled yet. And Grayson, outside of a little bit of Big 12 preview or Big 12 review, I should say, no game to preview for Baylor this week. We'll get to Texas next time around. I know you do have some recruiting notes or a recruiting note that you wanted to pass along.
Yeah, so big, I guess, storyline that has been coming out for the past 2 weeks now is Mansfield Summit offensive lineman Jacoby Jackson. He's a 2021 offensive lineman, so Baylor's pursuing him really hard to fill an offensive line spot for the 2021 class, and Baylor doesn't have a lot of room, so he's been very much a priority. His recruitment's been very weird as things have progressed over the last few weeks. It seemed like it was pretty much going to be a sure thing Baylor But recently he posted he was going to make a commitment decision, and then he took that post down. Then yesterday he put he was going to make a commitment decision at 6:30, took that post down. He sent a message to Hayes Fawcett, who is a guy who does editing for commitment lists and for top tens and things like that. And he reached out to him, I assume, to do a commitment edit or graphic. And then he took that post down too. So it's been a lot of really just weird things going on with to end that recruitment. And I know he got some crystal balls today to Texas Tech. I know that Steve Wiltfong was one of the guys that put in a crystal ball. He's got a very high percentage of accuracy. But I will say, over the past 2 weeks, you know, I still have been thinking it's Baylor. It's Baylor's, you know, direction. That's where he's going to go. That's where he's leaning. But, you know, there were red flags when it didn't happen right when I kind of thought that it would. You know, 2 weeks ago, that weekend was when it was supposed to happen and it didn't. That makes things a little bit, I wouldn't say sketchy, but it definitely makes you rethink some things. And I will say there was a fear that he could sway elsewhere. That's just the kind of recruitment that it has been. So I wanted to provide an update there. It would not surprise me if he does ultimately choose Texas Tech. I don't have solidified news from a source yet that it will be Texas Tech, but I do think that it seems like things are trending that way. And if he makes a decision today, that could be what it's looking like. But Baylor's still there, but it just is, it's seeming like things are trending another direction.
Well, that is very interesting news. Appreciate you passing that along. And I had seen where, I don't know, it seemed, I don't know if it was this week or whatnot. My days are getting confused, but I knew that he had gotten a few crystal balls. And I know that there you were feeling pretty confident about the chances. And yeah, all signs sort of pointing to him eventually joining the Bears. And that's recruiting, right? That's recruiting for you. Weird stuff happens from time to time. And I could understand if, you know, there was this massive push for Texas Tech, if they had somehow beaten Texas and they had, you know, actually had some good showings and they weren't replacing their starting quarterback after, you know, a couple of games time because of bad performances. But hey, relationships and whatnot that we are not aware of and whatever else, but sounds like 1-3 Texas Tech. Winless in the Big 12, at least potentially have an offensive lineman heading their way. And I guess quickly before we get to the rest here, what would that mean for you in terms of how that affects Baylor? Obviously, they need offensive linemen, or they're looking for offensive linemen always. This class is, you know, down to its final few spots. They're going to be selective and things like that. But what does that mean if he's now off the table or becomes off the table for them moving forward?
Yeah, so if he's off the table, I think you'll see Baylor put out their first 2021 offer in what feels like months. I mean, I couldn't even tell you the last offer they put out for the 2021 class because it's been that long since they've put one out. I believe it was during the summer. So, I mean, that's a long time since they've put an offer out. But I think what I would say on this part of Jacoby Jackson is if he does decide to go elsewhere, I think it means that there is a very high likelihood that Baylor's next commitment is a guy who they have not put out an offer to, which adds to suspense, adds to drama. But I just think that that's kind of where the class is currently at right now. I don't feel great about where they're at with Snow College offensive lineman Jordan Mocco. If Jacoby Jackson goes elsewhere, that takes basically two names off the table. And I think they may have to go back to the film room and start seeing what guys had a great start to the season and see if they can put out a new offer, maybe to another offensive lineman. I know one guy I've mentioned, but there just hasn't been a ton of traction there is Remington Strickland, who is a guy who just got an offer from Oklahoma a couple days ago, got a Michigan offer a week ago. He's starting to get on the radar of a lot of programs. And so I think he could be a guy that Baylor tries to move on to, but currently not a lot of movement there with an offer because, like I said, Baylor's kind of put all their eggs in one basket, at least for the time being.
All righty. So not the best of updates, but some recruiting news as it's been sort of a weird stretch, really all this year or most of this year, but here's of late, like you mentioned, not a lot of offers going, or not any offers going out, and now a guy you thought was going to be joining the fold appears like he could be off the table, but we shall see. It is recruiting, and as you were outlining, there's already been a few things changed with this young man here recently, so who knows what will change again potentially. So I think that's all to really discuss this week. Let's go ahead and get in the mailbag and answer some of the questions from you, the audience, and I do always appreciate those of you who pass along your questions. We'll start off with Grafted into Baylor Nation. Have there been any positive COVID test results among either the men's basketball team or the women's basketball team? Grayson, maybe you can answer this better than I can, but only a handful of non-football student-athlete positives this week going off the numbers that Baylor releases, although I could not tell you if any of them have to do with basketball because they do not break it down by sport, and I have not heard, nor have I really dug to see what sports were dealing with the four or so cases in athletics this week. Any idea on your end?
I mean, I would not be shocked if a few of the members on either of the teams have maybe gotten it in the past. I mean, it's been a long time since COVID has been going around, but I can't give you direct results on, you know, who had it or when they had it or anything like that. I assume this question is maybe to ask, you know, simply have a lot of them gotten it so that they won't get it during the season. I would assume that may be kind of, I feel like a lot of people have been kind of asking that question or hinting at it. But I am not sure on exact numbers for the men's or women's basketball team. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, and that's not really something we're going to be privy to, quite frankly. You know, they're not going to divulge details like that typically. But, you know, we'll see. We will see what happens with basketball. Luckily, they're not playing right now. So even if they are dealing with it, they're not having to worry about cancellations. And on the somewhat same topic, Brad New 18, do either of you guys have Adam Silver's number to ask him if we can borrow his NBA bubble for the upcoming college basketball season? So it appears that you know, basketball's on the mind for folks who are seeing football kind of get tossed around a little bit, and understandably so, but no. And I even asked Mac Rhodes about the possibility of a bubble and all that, and it's just simply not something that can be done, obviously, because those were pro athletes, and this is a much different ball game with student athletes. You can't have the bubble format, but it would be nice, wouldn't it? It would help a lot of these problems as far as traveling and all of that. If there's like one big central bubble, I know there's some talk about how that could be done for some of these tournaments and whatnot, but yeah, unfortunately the bubble will remain with the NBA.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad you mentioned the tournaments, trying to construct something similar for those weekends where they are playing, you know, a few games during a weekend. It won't exactly be the bubble, though, but I do have to give a lot of credit to Adam Silver. The NBA did a great job. Now, I know the numbers really work out well for that league to be able to do that, but it was a brilliant idea, and it worked out really well for them. So, I mean, that mad props to them for getting that whole season finished and providing some sporting entertainment for the entire country.
Certainly. Did not care myself. I know you're a big basketball guy. I was not invested in the finals at all. I just did not care, but I will tip my cap to how they were able to get through the season without, you know, just a blip here or there, but for the most part, managed it pretty well, just like the NHL did, and like baseball was able to eventually figure out after stumbling out of the blocks a little bit. So that's all, you know, ultimately positive news that NHL, NBA were able to crown champions, and MLB is well on its way to crowning a champion. I think that's great. The NFL is now dealing with it, but they're plugging along and making do. The bare minimum. So I got canceled, rescheduled games 5. 4 non-conference and Oklahoma State. Games played 2. Does that second number end up higher than the first one?
Yes, it does. I don't think there's a question about it.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does end up higher. It will end up, you know, higher by 2, 3, 4, whatever. But no, I understand the concern, but this is just part of the deal. And I have pretty good faith that Baylor is going to complete the rest of their schedule. It just may not, Grayson, go the way that it was originally scheduled. As we've already seen with Oklahoma State, I think there, you know, might be one or two, maybe more instances of having to shuffle, maybe. But I'm pretty, you know, 100% confident that they're 99% confident they're going to play all these games. Just may not be on the dates that people expected.
Right. Thanks for that question, the bare minimum. Doc Crowell, do you think the cancellation gives us more time to prep for Texas and get a better performance in that game than if we'd faced Oklahoma State and then Texas the following weekend? Or would playing Oklahoma State have been even better than all the extra time of practice?
No, I mean, they're not practicing really. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it would have been really ugly if they had played in Stillwater this weekend. So I don't know how much that would have helped being shorthanded. I think getting healthy and trying to prepare for Texas as best you can would be ideal, but it's not really working out that way with all the positives they have this week. So it's not either way. It's not ideal the way you would have liked it. Right.
Yeah. And I think if it was a normal circumstance, no coronavirus, then it would have been more beneficial for Baylor to play Oklahoma State because I do think they need game reps, but because of coronavirus, it would have been a waste of time, honestly, to play Oklahoma State at the state that Baylor was currently at. And they didn't make the limit anyway, so it wasn't possible, but I think the extra time of practice is going to be great. I don't have huge expectations for that game against Texas. I think it's going to be very tough for Baylor to get ready for that game and have everyone ready to go and available. But I do think ultimately it gives them a better chance to be successful throughout the season to have this extra week of practice.
Yeah, it should. All right. Grizzair, how frustrating is it the Big Ten and Pac-12 initially proclaimed no football, and now they will probably end up playing more games this season than BU? I need someone to share my anger and frustration, so let it all out. Well, I'm not going to because I think you're jumping to conclusions, think they're going to end up playing more games. They already had a shortened schedule planned of, you know, just less than the 10 games to begin with themselves. So, I mean, I think it's going to end up being about the same. I don't think first of all, they might end up still having cancellations for all we know. I don't think there's anything guaranteed just because they're starting later. So I would just say that right out of the gates.
Yeah. And we had our initial frustration when it was first released that they were going to play football after deciding not to. I mean, it was extremely frustrating the way that they went about it, saying that, oh, now we have new information and now we're able to play because we feel it's safe. And it's like, no, you had the same information. You just realized that you couldn't do without football because it was going to destroy all of your programs. And so, I mean, I was very frustrated about it. I thought it was super hypocritical the way that they tried to weave around the discussion about how they were just flat out wrong. And I think that that is something that was very frustrating. But I agree with you, Craig. I don't think it necessarily means they're going to play more games than Baylor. I mean, they already have a shortened schedule. And I think Baylor, after this outbreak, is going to be just fine moving forward. Now, I can't speak for the rest of the teams on Baylor's schedule, but I do believe Baylor will be okay to move forward throughout the season.
No doubt. Fat Daddy, while we were able to schedule our game with Oklahoma State, it wasn't on our remaining bye week because Oklahoma State is playing that weekend. Wait, is this an answer to something?
I don't know.
While we were able to reschedule our game with Oklahoma State, it wasn't on our remaining bye week because Oklahoma State is playing that weekend. When the Big 12 rescheduled all the games, why didn't they have the same bye weeks for everyone? It would have sure made any additionally rescheduling easier. It was already discussed that if we need to reschedule to Texas, that it would have to involve moving other games of one of us. Was it to keep a TV presence every weekend or what? Not being on TV hasn't hurt the Big Ten in the polls. I mean, I don't know. Fat Daddy, the schedule stunted because if you did it all on the same weekend, I mean, you're still going to run into issues. They had open weekends so that you could have the flexibility to move a game around like the proposed perhaps shift if Texas has to be canceled that Colt laid out a few days ago. Like any questions about why they did it that way? I don't know. But it was obviously to create situations where they could be flexible ultimately. And you know, they're going to have to be flexible based on what we're seeing right now. But Grayson, any comment on that? And yeah, they obviously want to be on TV. That's where their money comes from. That's why Oklahoma State Baylor will still be played in December. If it didn't have any meaning behind it, then maybe they don't play that game. But the TV revenue, especially right now with the loss of revenue that teams are facing, TV is more important than ever. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the TV presence is huge. And you have to remember that there are other conferences playing football. So Baylor tried to strategically place their games so that they weren't, you know, like, for instance, other TV networks probably have an SEC game scheduled for a certain weekend that Baylor decided to give some of their teams a bye week because they weren't going to be able to be on TV. Whereas the next weekend, oh, they get a more primetime spot or more of a national presence on TV. So there's some strategy that goes into it, and it has to do with the other games that the TV networks already have on their schedule and just a lot of coordination and things along those lines. So I do think it's a big deal, especially during this year. That's why you don't have the same bye weeks for everyone during a normal season as well. It's the exact same reasoning. I mean, this year's just weird and you're going to have to deal with it. But I think the Big 12 did a great job of having that flex option with the Big 12 championship, which is going to allow teams, if they do have an outbreak, to wait and play all the way at the end of the year, which could be extremely beneficial.
All right, so let's rip through some questions. Fat Daddy's got like a million of them, but Pitchman does. But first, Fat Daddy, now that every team's eligible for a bowl, will the bowls aligned with the Big 12 still pick on their usual order, or is it every bowl for themselves and all alliances are not in play this year? I have no idea. I have not looked, but maybe you have.
I think it's the same thing. So it's Sugar Bowl, Alamo Bowl, Camping World, Texas Bowl, Liberty Bowl, Cheez-It Bowl, and then the rotation of the Armed Forces and First Responders Bowl. So maybe they go out of rotation and maybe they're able to get both of those games at the end to help shore things up. But I think as you get to the very end, it's just going to be the random bowls picking teams. And so I know everyone's eligible, but that doesn't mean every team's going to get picked. And if Kansas doesn't win a single game this year, I can't imagine they're going to get picked for a bowl game. The other teams in the Big 12, I think, will have a shot at getting chosen by the random ones. But I think the order stays the same. It's just going to be the teams at the bottom that get picked by other bowls that aren't necessarily affiliated with the Big 12.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, it would be likely that bowls will want to probably pick teams that are close to them, who they think can draw, because I don't think, you know, you're going to have a bowl game out in California that's looking to like bring in Florida and Texas, you know, or, well, they're not going to be a bowl game in California probably anyways, but you know what I'm saying? Like there's probably going to be a lot more localization to the bowl games, I would think, this year than maybe ever before. There's already some of that anyways, but especially, you know, attempting to reduce the travel would make a lot of sense. So, yeah, I think the bowl games just have more of a choice now because nobody's really off limits. And, they're gonna look for the best draws and the best games. So Pitchman's got quite a few questions. Here we go. Do you think we will close out the class with a couple of names we have yet to hear about or are just learning about now? Seems like we keep missing some targets we're in the hunt for, but some nice prospects seem to remain available.
If they don't land Jacoby Jackson, then I think there might be a high likelihood that they do.
Okay. Do you get tired of the politically leaning comments, conspiracies about COVID in the premium sports talk only area? Ever wish the talk would stay there as the mods have requested?
I mean, I think we both can agree with that one, Craig. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get tired of politics being inserted in premium and free and everything, in Twitter and Facebook and in everything. I mean, it's everywhere, all over the place. I don't know. Yeah, it's only, and I don't know how people do it. So quite frankly, I just tune it out because I think there's a real weirdness in a person's brain when 24/7, like some people are, every single thing that happens in this world or in life somehow relates to politics. Like that's just insane to me. I can't relate to it, so I don't bother with it, and I just gloss right over it. Speaking of the Raging Cajuns game tonight, what? speaking of the Raging Cajuns game tonight, did we go after Billy Napier before we ended up with Coach Dave Aranda? Not that that is bad. I think I heard he turned us down, and he was my first choice.
I mean, I'm sure we both can tell. He did not turn down the Baylor job. It was never offered to him based on everything I've heard. Now, I think there were rumors about maybe not getting an interview with him or something along those lines. There was something there, but I do not believe he was ever offered a job, the head coaching job at Baylor. And I mean, he would have been an interesting choice. I think a lot of people talked about him. I know personally, Luke Fickell was the guy that I thought would have been a great fit. He's at Cincinnati, but very happy Baylor ended up with Dave Aranda, being that I don't think a lot of people knew he was even an option when it first started.
Yeah, I don't think that Napier turned him down like that. I mean, he might be waiting for a job in the SEC, has been rumored, but I mean, who you know, whatever, who cares? But he's doing well for himself. Fun question here. Do you think the racism played a part in the scapegoating of Art Briles firing, as per an article today about the need to vindicate Briles? Do you think he will ever coach D1 football again?
You can go first, Craig.
Okay. Well, I know a thing or two about that article that is quite interesting that I will not relay because I'm not going to do it just yet. But there was not a whole lot new in that article. It was a rehash of a lot of things we already knew. There was some new information out there as far as like connections and things like that. Speaking of like the people who talk politics constantly, and I just don't know how they do it. I don't know how, outside of just the personal connections of a person that you are close to or you love. I don't know how people are still rehashing the same talking points that they were rehashing 5 years ago. I mean, that to me is just nuts. I'm not saying don't shed light. I'm not saying don't look behind closed doors. I'm not saying there weren't people, you know, like Baylor in power, power brokers or whatever, that weren't manipulating things. I mean, I've heard all of it. I've read all of it. There was basically little to no new information in that piece. That piece was interesting. I don't think it started out the way it ended up being. I'll say that.
Yeah. It was,
and I think the racial aspect was a little added on post fact, but I'll leave that to Outkick to explain. But no, I mean, this is 5 years old. I'm tired of talking about it. I am not like just say push through the cases and let's be done with it. Wash your hands. I'm not saying any of that, but this is the same stuff we've been talking about. And I don't even have an opinion on it. And the thing with the racism part of it, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Everything's racist these days, everything, according to some. And I know there's always been that racial aspect. I know that Phil Bennett, a guest of ours, brought up, you know, the quotes that from him and there are the same things from years ago. Like, that's nothing new. That's nothing new. You guys have already talked about this a billion times already. And I just don't get the circles we're running in here with this same stuff. But, the thing about the racial aspect of it, and I don't know how to really word it correctly. And so I'm trying to be careful here, but it's like, those were the players that were accused. You know what I mean? Like, those players that were accused all happened to be Black. I don't think that there was like a conservative effort to make all of the cases and the accusations toward Black players. Now, could that have been used in some way? Yeah, sure, I guess. But I mean, those were the players that were accused, and football was the center of attention. Was it shifted that way because that's what the people in charge wanted? Sure. But like, I just don't care anymore. Like, until you can prove it, you're just speculating over the same things we've been speculating about. So I'm not giving it another thought until I have a reason to give it thought. And this article, it's just not all that it appears. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I thought it was very just oddly timed and very just, I just thought it was very odd. And like you said, it was a lot of things that everyone has talked about in the past. And so it was kind of just, here we go in circles again. And I mean, you know, could there have been a racist element to it? Sure. Was there a conscious effort to put the blame all on the football program instead of looking inward at Baylor as a whole, and you know, the whole Title IX fiasco that, you know, happened with the fact that they didn't really have one in place? Yeah, there were a lot of things that could have potentially happened. But at the end of the day, what's done is done. And this is literally, unless there's new information and stuff that is completely mind-blowing that comes out. I just don't see the need to continue to write articles about the same thing that we've talked about for 5 years now. And so I agree with you. I just think that it's time to let that go. And as far as, do you think he will ever coach D1 football again? Probably not. I mean, he's getting older now. I don't know that that's in his future. Maybe he goes to the NFL or something as an analyst of some kind, but I don't know about D1 football.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised in college football, because you never say never, right? But it sort of seems like the branches of the tree are the ones that are going to be kind of carrying that torch, and are, you know, with Kendall at Arkansas and Lebby at Ole Miss, and those guys will be running that offense. But, I mean, never say never. You know, Saban could always use another analyst, right, or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I saw that article and just heard some things about it after the fact. And, I mean, to me, quite frankly, it turned into a big old eye roll, more so than some shocking thing, because, again, like, a majority of it was already talked about a long time ago, and we're just rehashing for the sake of wanting to rehash, in my opinion. But yeah, I think racism playing a part to an extent, sure. And what you said about, like, not handling it well and turning the flashlight outwards, I've said that before, like, that I fully believe that. But I've said all these things, and I said them like 2.5 years ago. I'm not going to keep doing this song and dance until something changes in a major way. That's not another PR piece for one side or the other. Then it's all just the same that it was, quite frankly. And Pitch Man, don't take that as, you know, a knock on you or anything. It's just that I knew this question was coming at some point or another from somewhere, and that's my feelings on it. So I do appreciate it. All right, let's rip through these last three from Pitch Man. Are offensive woes fixable before we play Texas? I say yes, Grayson, to the extent that it can be fixed. I don't think we're going to see, like, you know, some rip-roaring offense next time around, but I do think that there are issues that can be fixed, and I think the offensive line will play better, which is the big first step, and will automatically lead to some of those woes being a little bit more fixable.
Yeah, two quick things on this. I don't think the offense will be completely fixed, but I think playing a defense like Texas as opposed to West Virginia will make it look significantly better.
Yes, I agree with that. So, yes. And the last most important question, prefer Image College Football or College Football Live?
I think he means Inside College Football. And if that's what he means, the one on, I believe it's on CBS Sports. I really like that one. That I like that way better than College Football Live.
Who's on that cast? I'm trying to even think. Is that like CBS?
Neuheisel? Guys on there. Adam Zucker is the host.
Okay. Yeah. I see. We're typically doing our pregame now. Well, we haven't lately. But yeah, I mean, I guess I'd go with Inside College Football. Yeah, over College Football Live. But I'm not real in tune with really diving too much into some of those shows. But I'll just say Inside College Football, because I do think that they do a good job. So Pitchman, favorite, closes out by saying, favorite podcast on earth. Keep up the good work, guys. Well, Pitchman, we do appreciate your questions every single week, and don't take my or Grace, well, really mine, because I was the one that got a little bit more crazy with it, but my reaction to your question about that article and all of that personally, nor should anybody who feels a certain type of way about it. That's just my feelings on it. And I know that everybody's got their reason for feeling whichever way they do about it. But yeah, I just, in this year and in all subsequent years, I'm just not going to get bogged down and carry baggage around. You know what I mean? So I don't mean that disrespectfully to those who have to still deal with it, like the people involved. But for me, I mean, I've discussed it ad nauseum. Give me something new to discuss and I'll discuss it. But that was a whole lot of rehash, quite frankly. So do appreciate everybody's questions this week. Hopefully next week we are previewing Texas. That's the plan. And hopefully they are playing in Austin on Saturday. And that should be quite an interesting one. But we will see what occurs with, you know, the next few days unfolding and around the Big 12 and around the rest of the country as well. So Grayson, anything before we go until next week?
Quick update. Jacoby Jackson did tweet that he is committing tonight. I expect that to be Texas Tech. And like I said, it's really the only guy left that Baylor has offered right now is Snow College offensive lineman Jordan Mocho. He's still in contention with the Bears, but I'm viewing this as potentially that Baylor does look around and try to put out another offer if they don't land Mocho. But again, I expect Jacoby Jackson to make his decision tonight to go to Texas, to commit to Texas Tech. Jordan Mocho still there as a priority, and then potentially more Baylor offers that go out. So that's kind of a little update on where we're at a little more concisely.
All right. Well, back to the drawing board, it sounds like, for Baylor and the offensive line. And don't know what it went into that decision for Jacoby Jackson, but maybe we'll have some points to make on that next week. We will see. I do truly appreciate everybody's questions, everybody listening. And we do welcome your questions, even if they're frustrating or even if we, maybe go off on tangents like I just did a few moments ago. We appreciate the discussion, appreciate the feedback as well. And we do appreciate, of course, our sponsors, WellMed Medical Management and USMD Health System out of Dallas, as well as Burt Kolch and Ford in Waco since 1936. Sponsor the Ford Tough Player of the Week, a locally owned dealership. No better way to tailgate than with a Ford from BK. So Grayson, appreciate it as always, man. I'll talk to you next week. For Grayson Grunhafer, I'm Craig Smoke. This has been Trust the Podcast on Sikkim365.com.